was suddenly there, standing among them. "Peace be to you," he said. The whole group, though, was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies. And you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still they stood in disbelief, but now filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of the Moses and prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed with authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses to all of these things. And now I will send you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven."
Recently, an elderly man named Mr. Lee leant forward in his chair. He was dressed in a jacket, shirt, slacks, and he spoke and said to his wife, "Sweetheart, it's me," he said. "It's been a long time." She replied, "I never expected this would happen to me. I'm so happy right now." Then he replied, "Please never forget that I'm always with you. Stay healthy till we meet again." Mrs. Lee was so happy because she thought she wouldn't actually speak with her husband again because he died. She was actually speaking to an artificial intelligence generated avatar projected onto a wall. It was an ad written for an AI company and filmed for an AI company recently from Korea, hence the name Lee. But you know, it's remarkable what can be done now with artificial intelligence. Our daughter Lisa, sitting in her office in Wallingbar here, can actually create an avatar of herself, her own likeness, and she can actually have that avatar present a seminar to people in West Africa in French, or people in India in Hindi, or people in the Middle East in Arabic. Was this the sort of appearance that Jesus made when he visited the followers in Jerusalem or on the road to Emmaus? The road to Emmaus is the immediate preceding story in this chapter 24. And Trent shared that last week. An emphatic answer of no is the appropriate response to that question. Jesus' resurrection was and is real. It was not an avatar on a wall. Luke doesn't tell us exactly where the followers were in Jerusalem when Jesus appeared to them. John tells a very similar event, And in John's record of it, in John 20, they are locked behind closed doors because they're in fear of the Jews, fear for their life. Because the Jesus they had acknowledged as the Son of God, the Saviour, the Christ, who had come, the Messiah, to actually, as they thought, liberate them from the Roman rule, to set up a whole new life for them in that time. He had surrendered to death on a cross, and his body had been placed in a tomb. They were very fearful in that upper room. But Luke 24 is both a climax to the gospel story and a beginning of a new story. This chapter captures the transformative power of the resurrection, the fulfillment of God's promise, and the personal encounters that change despair and fear into hope and joy. In this chapter, we see fear turned into faith, confusion into clarity, and death into life, and mourning into mission. My prayer is that as we reflect upon this encounter, and we reflect on our own encounters, that we will be actually have a new appreciation of encountering the living Christ in a powerful way. I was once asked which biblical event I would most like to have been an eyewitness to. Have you ever been asked that question? Think for a minute, which one would you like to have been a witness to? I've heard an array of answers to that question. I once heard a young man, in jest I hope, say, I'd like to have been at the plagues in Egypt because I'd get rid of my older brother. To me, the obvious answer, an immediate answer was, I want to be at one event between the resurrection of Christ and his ascension. I'd like to meet the risen Christ. My favourite is by the Sea of Galilee, when he restores Peter. But this is another example of that encounter, which is transformative, as they all are. It epitomises, in fact, the solidification of my faith as a teenager, as I actually grew to appreciate more fully the reality of Christ's resurrection and his fulfillment of prophecy. My faith matured as a teenager. My faith journey and growth had much more in common with the road to Emmaus than it did with the road to Damascus. But it doesn't matter whichever between those two extremes. One is a slow burn, like a crock pot, which is my experience. The other is like a microwave. It happens in a flash, like the road to Damascus, where Paul encountered Christ. But the whole array of encounters are all transformative. As we look more closely at today's passage that Meron read for us, Cleopas has walked back from Emmaus, and he's explaining to all those present what they encountered. They encountered the risen Christ as he explained to them everything was written in the scriptures. And then they recognized him as he broke bread. We don't know exactly what time this event happened, but it was presumably late in the day because they'd walked back from Emmaus 11 kilometers away by this time. And what does Jesus suddenly appears amidst them? They're in fear. They're worried about their future. They haven't yet grasped the enormity of what Cleopas is sharing with them, or his excitement yet. What are the first words that Jesus speaks? He speaks peace. He says, the first words were, "Peace be with you." This is the first takeaway thing I would like you to remember from today's message. We don't have an overhead transparency, but we have inserted a sheet in your bulletin. And it's a sheet that looks, no, it doesn't look like that. That's an order of service. A sheet that looks like this for you to take home and remember the transformative aspects of an encounter with Christ. The first one is that it transforms from fear to peace. Jesus comes to them when their faith is still very fragile, and it's actually been shattered, in fact. They are still struggling to believe what Cleopas has said. They're fearful, and Jesus says words of peace. What a picture of grace. Jesus does not wait for us to have perfect faith either. Before he comes to us, he meets us in our confusion, in our doubts, in our dark times. His first word is not a rebuke. It is the blessing of peace. For many of us, this is exactly what we need. There are times in our life when what we need is someone to speak peace into darkness, peace into confusion, peace into anxiety. He comes and he knows that what they need, and he speaks peace to them. Into this fear-filled room, Jesus' first words are not of condemnation. Not, he doesn't come with a lecture, but with simply the words, "Peace be with you." Isaiah foretold this back in the book that he wrote in the Old Testament when he said he would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. We need to be open. We need to invite the Prince of Peace to walk with us and be part of our life journey. It is this message of peace, this shalom, that I actually want to be the last thing people hear and remember from what will be, in not too many years hence, the celebration of my life, my funeral, if you like. I want them to leave with the words of peace in their ears. I want people, the last words I want in this celebration of life, I want to be the blessing that Aaron shared back in Numbers. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. The second takeaway message from this encounter with Christ is Christ brings joy and wonder. In verse 42, as Meron read, we read that though they stood there in disbelief, they were filled with joy and wonder. Any encounter with the risen Christ is transformational. It transforms from fear to faith, from despair to hope, from misery to joy. There are numerous records in Scripture of people who met the risen Christ. There was Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. And the other end, there was Paul on the road to Damascus. There was those who walked on the road to Emmaus. There is this gathering in Jerusalem. There is the time by the Sea of Galilee where he met with seven of the disciples. who were fishing. There is another recording with others and Thomas. But in every case, we see the resulting joy and wonder from meeting the risen Christ. The third takeaway from this text is that Jesus' resurrection brings proof of prophecy fulfilled, proof of his claim to be Christ, the Son of the living God, and proof of his power over death. Even with Jesus standing before them, the disciples were startled and frightened. They thought they were seeing a ghost. As proof that he wasn't a ghost, he invites them to look at his hands and his feet and to see that he is Jesus, risen from the dead. His scars on his hands and feet are not signs of defeat. They're actually signs of victory. And then he goes on to say, "Have you got something to eat? I'd like to eat with you." Further proof of his resurrection. And it confirms that. Having established that he had risen from the dead, Jesus then opens their eyes to the scriptures. I think it's quite likely he went through a similar dialogue as he did on the road to Emmaus. He probably explained the same thing to all of them and opened all the scriptures to them. It is this evidence of Jesus' resurrection and his fulfillment of prophecy that solidified my faith as a teenager. And my faith was further reinforced by an appreciation that many of those who were present at this encounter with the risen Christ didn't live to old age. They chose death rather than deny what they had seen and witnessed. When we have moments of doubt, we would do well to remember that the risen Christ bears the marks of love in his hands and his feet. When we are tempted to question his care, we know to only look at his hands and his feet. The fourth takeaway message to this encounter is with the risen Christ is that it brought purpose to what they were to do. The message is clear. After he explained to them that he would suffer and die before rising from the dead on the third day, Jesus said that this message would be proclaimed with the authority of his name to all nations. And Jesus went on to say that those present, that you are witnesses to this. Here Jesus gives them both a message and a mission. The message is clear. Through his death and his resurrection, forgiveness for sins is now possible for all people. This is the heartbeat of the gospel. And the mission's also clear. They were to be witnesses to these things, not spectators. They were to be partners in the redemptive work of Christ. That's incredible. But it didn't stop with those present in that day and age. It still applies to us today. We are part of the worldwide family of witnesses to Christ's resurrection, to the truth of what he claimed to be. We are not simply spectators. We are witnesses. And here I turn to the last point, the fifth point. And here I'm tempted actually to hand back over to Richard. Because the last point he started with is in his service. The fifth point is that we are not left to do this in our own strength. Praise God for that. This encounter with the risen Christ concluded with a promise. A promise of the Holy Spirit to fill them. Verse 47 reads, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." They didn't all stay in Jerusalem. Some of them went fishing. But they were all ultimately filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that actually empowered them to live and to speak as witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. And it was the Holy Spirit that empowered them to surrender their life rather than deny the truth of this reality. So I hope you actually share with me that Luke 24 is a journey from fear to peace, from despair to hope, from doubt to faith, from death to life. It invites us to respond with wonder, to walk the road of life with Christ by our side, to receive his peace in our fear, to embrace hope, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit as witnesses of his resurrection. Let us leave here this morning with peace, joy, and hope, because Jesus is risen indeed. Amen.